Mike Olick here from Mike and Mike in the Morning on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, ESPN.com, ESPN Everything. And with talking with a guy right now who is a guy that does everything, Myron Roll from Florida State. Your story, Myron, is so well known with you coming out of high school. I remember reading about you coming out of high school, the number one player out of high school, and then a great career at Florida State, earned the Rhodes Scholarship. How do you even say that? Earn it? Win it? How do you?
Yeah, earns right.
I would imagine earn would be the right way considering what you had to do. The Rhodes Scholarship, you study in Oxford, and now you're studying to be in the NFL draft. So let's start there first. How has all your preparation gone for the NFL draft at this point?
Well, the preparation has gone pretty well. When I was at Oxford, I dedicated 2 hours every morning, 6 a.m., worked out the rugby pitch, the rugby gym, even practiced a little bit with the rugby team. Didn't do any proper matches, but just stayed in shape there. You know, my brother was over there with me, helping me work out, keep my physical body in shape. Came back to the States, worked out at, the Wild World of Sports at Disney with Tom Shaw, and, we trained for the Senior Bowl and the Combine and our Pro Day, and all those things went pretty well. Now I'm just waiting and ready, for the draft day.
How did the Combine go? What did you hear after your performance there?
Well, the Combine didn't go as well as I anticipated. I didn't run as fast as I could have. I ran a 4.6, and, you know, I was expecting to run 4.4 or 4.5. Did the drills well, jumped well, you know, bench pressed 21 reps at 225, which was a lot better than I expected to do. But they all said that I looked good, but they just wanted to see me run better and have better straight ahead speed. And, at my pro day, I was able to run a low 4.5, which improved.
It's amazing to me, and we're talking with Myron Roll, from Florida State, is how you're a great football player, but what you're doing in the academic world, you want to be a neurosurgeon, correct?
That's correct.
Once your playing days are over. Is there a thought process that the route you're going hurts your football accessibility with what you're trying to do in football because of what you're trying to accomplish off the field?
Certainly is. You know, that was one of the risks that I guess calculated before I even went to Oxford for the Rhodes Scholarship. Would I come back and face criticism or, I guess, doubt that my academic interest outside of football, my peripheral interest in medicine and my foundation and different things I'm doing philanthropically around the world, you know, would interfere with my commitment to be a great player. But I just have to convey to coaches and teams that I am serious about this sport. I loved it since I started playing, you know, 6 years old in Galloway, New Jersey. You know, I played in high school, was number one in the country, went to Florida State for the reasons of playing for Bobby Bowden and excelling and advancing to the National Football League. And this is a dream. This is what I want. And I just have to make sure I portray it in the right sense.
Do you feel like you have something to prove because of the academic side of it?
I certainly do. I feel I have a lot to prove. And, you know, I never really thought that my academic pursuits would interfere with being a great football player.
Doesn't seem right, does it? It doesn't seem like it should be that way.
No, certainly. I thought they would both edify each other. But, you know, this is how it is, and I have to adjust. And I think the best people, most successful people, are ones who are able to look at the situation, adapt to it, and still have success.
We're talking with Myron Roll, who's using big words that I don't understand here. Michael from Mike and Mike in the Morning. Yeah, you really, you know, that was, it was, what was that?
Edify.
Yes. Edify, yeah. So you're confused. And I have a Notre Dame education, and people will mock me because I don't know that, but, you know, at least it was kind of a smaller word anyway. So the biggest thing you think you need to work on to the next level for the NFL?
Biggest thing I need to work on is probably creating more turnovers. I was very solid at Florida State. A lot of tackles for losses, a couple sacks, a lot of pass breakups, but not many interceptions or forced fumbles. And I think I want to work on stripping the ball and, when I get my hands on the ball, not knocking it down, actually intercepting it.
What have you heard, you know, the scuttlebutt from agent, from teams, from draft people about where you think you may be going?
I have more of an idea of, when I'd be going rather than, you know, the actual place.
I guess that's what I meant more, when, I'm sorry, you're right.
Yes, sir. Some late second day, which would be like a third round or, up to the last day. So between third and fifth round is something I'm hearing. Last year, I was projected to go first or second round, but I'll take that sacrifice to be a Rose Scholar. I had a great time there and, just excited to get my foot in the door and have the opportunity to play.
I remember talking, we would do the draft on radio. We'd go down to New York and do it. And we talked to a guy that was supposed to be taken in the top five. He ended up getting taken 15th or something. Mm-hmm. And he talked about that chip on his shoulder. I'm going to remember all those teams that passed me by. You are a guy who has unbelievable talent. And now as you're talking about, you know, maybe that third round area, is there going to be a chip on your shoulder?
Certainly. Absolutely. Anything you could use for motivation, and this would be one of them, is an added benefit. You know, when you're in the National Football League, I think it's motivation enough to say that I made it here. You know, it's an honor. As you know, it's just an honor to be in the National Football League and to join that special fraternity. Not many people get to do it. But then when you add that chip to say, a lot of people doubted my ability. A lot of people think that I'm more of a student than a football player. No, I'm a football player, but I'm also pretty smart. But I'm a football player first, especially right now while I'm young and still athletic.
You know, we had you down at ESPN the weekend, and we asked you this as well. And I want to ask it again, because in you talking to teams, is there the worry from teams that your ultimate focus, because all NFL players, when they're done with their career, have most of their life ready to go after that, that your ultimate focus may be on, you know, your medical education. Mm-hmm. And is there a fear of you not being as into the football for as long as they may want you to be?
I believe that is certainly a fear, a certainly concern, and I think it's legitimate. I believe when NFL teams look to evaluate players, they want to make sure that every aspect, every facet of this person is one for them to produce on the field, for them to be strong contributors to their organization, which is certainly just. But for me, what I have to do, and certainly speak it and live it, is to transform my academic interests and the disciplines and values I learned as being a Rhodes Scout and a strong student onto being a strong leader, strong, you know, disciplined player, a great preparation type person for football, and use it to my advantage.
So now you're also here representing Verizon. So tell me about the relationship there and what's going on.
Well, certainly. Verizon, you know, has provided me with this NFL mobile application that allows me to follow the draft, track the different picks that are taken, you know, allows me to keep up to date information with what's going on with teams, and it's just a very very productive product, and I think that you know, I'm advocating for it because I'm able to use it in a real life situation. I was able to use it in England. I'm able to use it here in the States, and you know, I certainly recommend it to any NFL fan who's looking to get information up to date on the go while they're not, you know, at their computer.
Biggest difference nowadays, isn't it, of how quickly you can get something?
Certainly.
I mean, it's just stunning. I mean, have you ever dialed a rotary phone in your life? Do you know what a rotary phone is?
I don't know what that is. Right.
So this is, yeah, a great way to get information, apps, the whole deal. So when that call comes, who will be the first people that you think of?
My parents. My parents would be the first people I think of. They're both from Nassau, Bahamas, and they came to this country for me and my four older brothers to advance and excel academically, athletically, or in whatever discipline we wanted to. And this is my choosing. This is my calling to be a professional player. And when that call comes, I'm going to think to them and thank them for developing me, nurturing me, and providing me with the proper and requisite tools to be successful.
I don't think there's any doubt that you will have so many people behind you and watching you and wanting you to succeed in whatever area you choose to go in. And best of luck. And I hope it all works out for you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You're listening to the best of Mike and Mike in the Morning on ESPN Radio Pod Center.
And right now we're so pleased to be joined by From Nebraska and Ndamukong Suh, who put together one of the really, I would say, Mike, stop me if I'm exaggerating, one of the most dominating seasons we've seen by a defensive player on the college level in recent memory.
You rarely see the physical domination that he showed everybody. You know, probably you have to go back maybe to when I was in school.
Yeah, seriously. Back when Golic, we were just joking. Golic was a 10th round pick.
Yeah.
There aren't even 10 rounds anymore.
Yeah.
By 8 o'clock, Ndamukong Suh will be on a plane somewhere. And welcome, first and foremost, to the program. How are you?
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Has it even sunk into you yet of what's going to go down Thursday night, of how quickly a name will be called and that quickly you're going to be on a team?
It really hasn't. I mean, it's been a long road and I've enjoyed it. And, I mean, I'm really looking forward to my family to come out here. My sister gets out in New York tonight. And then my mom and dad get here on Wednesday. So I'm looking forward to it without a doubt.
You know, I was asking you this during the break and we talked about it earlier this morning with Jimmy Clausen making the decision not to go to the draft and he wants to be with his grandfather and that's all great. But it did make me think, well, maybe he's getting some sense that he could be a guy who falls a little bit. So I would ask you, how much information do you have? Like, what sense do you have of what's going to happen Thursday for you?
I mean, just a simple sense that hopefully I go top three, but I really don't have anything. No indications of what's going to happen and who, what team I'm going to go to. Nobody's really come out really forefront and said, oh, we really love you and that we want to come get you. They all have interest, but nobody said, we want you and we're going to come get you or some of that sort. So it's still all up in the air, and I mean, just got to wait and see. And it's kind of that hurry up and wait game like the combine.
And after the combine, how many teams did you actually work out for then individually after that?
I only worked out for one team, and that was for Tampa Bay. And they showed interest in, and they had me work out for them as well as St. Louis and Detroit. But I mean, I just really went on those visits and enjoyed myself, got to hang out with the coaches and have good conversations.
Oh, you didn't have to do any working out or anything?
No working
out.
How
nice is that?
That's Golic's kind of audition. Mike and Mike and Endomic and Sue with us here. Do you have a nickname? Like, what do people just, when they get to know you, do they call you Endomic all the time? Or do you have
nobody really calls me by Endomic. Everybody calls me Sue by my last name or Damo. All my friends back home call me Damo.
Damo.
I got a best friend, Dominic Waters, once goes to Portland State. He's Dom and I'm Damo. So.
Okay, Damo. Very good. Damo with us. Yeah. Hopefully we'll get to know you well enough to call you that. The video that people show of you in the last game against Texas and all the other time. I mean, it just, the domination is unbelievable. Can you talk us through what it was like for you out there on the field? Because the NFL, the guys are going to be bigger and they're going to be stronger. How did you feel when you were out there? Because the video we see is you throwing people around.
That game was fun. And the reason why it was fun is the way we're taught. Coach Carl Pelini and the defensive staff, and as well as John Papuchis, our defensive end coaches, the way they teach us like linebackers, and we know what's going to happen. And we can make our own calls. Although a lot of the time that we're listening and waiting for the linebackers to make the calls, we have the leeway to go up there and do that. We know exactly what's going to happen. So for that game, Texas didn't change their offense at all. They felt they can run and do whatever they want to do and didn't have to put any tweaks into their offense like most teams did with the great defensive line that we have or that I got to play with this past season. So we knew everything they were going to do. So it was easy for me to get to where I needed to be or feed my other teammates' plays. And we just played with each other and had a blast.
There are Texas old linemen that'll be wanting to burn that tape, so it's never seen again.
I'm sorry, but it's on that game. I mean, that was a game that tilted the national championship. They kicked that field goal at the very end, sort of controversial time put back on the clock and everything else. Now, it wasn't a national title. It wasn't hanging in the balance for you in that case, but certainly a conference championship and a big win and a big spot. How tough was it to take that game? How long did it take you to get past it?
It was very tough, and I don't even still think to this day that I'm past it. And I worked out with actually Sergio Kendall and Brandon and Roger Mulkeroy down from Texas. And, I mean, I always gave them a hard time about it when we were working out, and oh, you guys are cheaters and whatnot. But, no, we're just joking. But, I mean, it's still tough, and I mean, but things happen for a reason, and I'm glad that it was something I had to go through. Hopefully I don't ever have to go through it again.
Now, by that point, obviously, you had established yourself as the player everybody sees. At what point in your college career did you think, yeah, I could be a top player. I could maybe be where you ended up. Mm-hmm. Was there a point early on in your college career where you maybe saw that you had the chance to do that?
I'd never fathomed this. I mean, this is kind of a once-in-a-lifetime picture of what I kind of saw myself. I always thought I was a good player and knew I could work to be hopefully a top guy in my position, but to be in a position to be number one overall, taken in the draft, and be seen as another elite player coming into this great league, something I really didn't see like this, picturing it out like this. But, I mean, I've always had the work ethic to want to be those top guys and want to work to be that guy.
All right, hold on a second, Green. I need you to stay out of this. We're going to talk football for a minute.
You talk football a minute with Dominican.
So as you get ready to go in the NFL, great player, what's, in your mind, the biggest thing you have to work on?
I think probably the biggest thing for me that everybody says that I can't pass rush or that I'm a very limited pass rusher. I think I'm a very versatile guy. I think I pass rushed this season, and the defensive coordinator and Coach Bo and Coach Carl put me in great situations. They allowed me to play a three-technique pass rush and defensive end. So I think they gave me that leeway to be able to do multiple things in the overall scheme. But, I mean, we'll just have to wait and see. I need the biggest thing for me is to continue to work on that pass rush because the offensive game in the league is predicated on passing the ball.
Yeah, it is. And you bull rush incredibly well, but as you, I'm sure you even understand, it's going to be a lot more difficult to do at the next level. Do you see yourself as a one, a three? Does it matter to you? Can you go anywhere on the line, you think?
Like I said, I like to be that versatile guy, go anywhere on the line. But if I would choose, I would like to be at a three, being able to get those one-on-ones a lot of the time. And be away from the slide protection and whatnot. So definitely like to be that guy that makes those plays and causes havoc.
Your hand play to me is what separates you. Being a former D lineman going into the league, it's one of the biggest things that you have to evolve with is hand play, and you're there already. Is that something that was a natural for you, or is that something that was really worked on early when a coach said we need to get on this?
I was just talking about this earlier before I came on, but no, it's not something that I started out in high school with, or something that has been there and been able to play. Because one, I didn't play football until I was in the eighth grade,
right,
and getting in high school, and then when I got to college is when I really got honed into that and understanding that you got to play with your hands, not playing with your shoulders and everything. You get driven to the ground and be run out to the other side of the field. So that's something that I will continue to work on, and something you can never be perfect at.
Let's put this back in. Mike and Dominican Sue is here with us. Let's put this back into something that everyone can relate to. Nebraska, your alma mater, had its spring game over the weekend, and you showed up there and you were welcomed and greeted warmly by your former teammates and, of course, all the students and everyone else. And then you made a very special announcement. We talked about it earlier, mm-hmm. but for those who've not heard it, what is it you announced that day?
I announced that day that I donated $2 million obviously, when I signed my contract and so forth, to the football athletic program for the naming rights to the facility and the strength and conditioning center. And then I also did an endowed scholarship for $600,000 for, first and foremost, an out-of-state student from Portland, Oregon, in my surrounding area, first from my high school, that can go to the University of Nebraska in engineering, which I graduated from in this December, or moving on to two scholarships out of the Nebraska area in-state for a student who wants to go to engineering college.
Wow. It's terrific.
Hey, it's incredible.
It is, to our understanding, it is the biggest gift ever given by a football player to a school. What made you decide to do it?
For me, it's very simple. Obviously, I believe heavily into school, and my mom being a school teacher, my dad being a mechanical engineer, I know school is a huge thing for me, and really to be a well-rounded person. I didn't want to go be that perceived college football player, got a scholarship, you just do a kind of an easy major and not really throw it to the wayside. I wanted a quality major and move forward and be able to fall back on something if I ever needed to. And then with the weight room, very simple. I mean, that program gave me so much. Those coaches gave me so much. I could only give them such a small gift. It's a big gift, but it's still, yeah. I mean, not as much as they gave me and my knowledge and everything.
Boy, that's extremely well said. Mike and Dominican Sue and Sam Bradford both are here with Sprint, letting you know about the Sprint Football Live app, which will let fans follow the draft. And among the things you're going to have are blogs. You and Sam Bradford will both be blogging for this Sprint app. So what sorts of things are you putting on?
Anything and everything. I'm as simple as me going to engineering conference this past Thursday in San Francisco, and then on my little detailed visits of going in different showrooms and whatnot when I've been in New York, and then obviously coming up here. This is a huge thing. And then obviously there's a great new phone coming out, the HTC Evo. It's amazing video. Just watching SportsCenter and everything on there. I got to test it out last night for the first time. I can't wait till it comes out so I can get one myself.
Nice. All the information is at sprint.com/football.
Blog quickly on draft night because you'll be done real quick.
Yeah, listen, I mean, the money you're giving to the university and everything is so admirable. It's a pleasure meeting you. Best of luck. It's going to be a special night. Try and find some time to have some fun because I'm sure it will go quickly.
Definitely will, and thanks for having me on.
My wife already texts me. Wow, does he sound like a great guy.
Yeah. Any chance you fall to 29 in the Jets? Yeah. I don't expect it to happen.
You're listening to the best of Mike and Mike in the Morning on ESPN Radio Pod Center.
The quarterback from Oklahoma, Sam Bradford. Good to see you, Sam. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, happy to have you guys here. And I asked Ndamukong this as well. He says people call him Sue, so I'll call him Sue. Is this process, has it dawned on you yet of what's about to take place on Thursday night?
Starting to. It hasn't really yet. I'm sure as that day get closer, the butterflies will probably start to pick up. But, right now I'm just trying to have fun with this process. I mean, I feel very fortunate. There's not a lot of 22-year-olds who get to go through this. It's been an exciting process. It's been a little nerve-wracking at times, but overall it's been great.
I want to go back before we go forward. I mean, you're right, to the future, the old, line, so bright you're wearing your shades already. I mean, it's incredible. I want you to go back to the BYU game. And when you get dumped on your shoulder and you know something's wrong, just you personally, not what anybody saw, just you personally, what went through your mind in that instant?
That was tough. It was tough just because, we came back. Obviously, last year we were so close to winning a national championship. A lot of us came back this year to try to win a national championship. And when that happened, After you put so much time in the offseason, just not having the opportunity to be out there with your teammates, it really hurt. And, you know, after that, I just wanted to get back on the field as soon as possible. Fortunately, after the first time, I was able to get back out there.
And okay, I want to even separate even from that, because team thought is, I'm sure, first in your mind. You're a team guy. How about personally? Because the year before, you didn't come out. You know, so from you, from an individual standpoint of what your possible future.
You know, at that point, to be honest, I wasn't even thinking about that. You know, I felt like if I started thinking about that stuff, it would just take away, you know, from the team and take away from my chances of getting back out there on the field. That was the first thing I wanted to do. You know, after the second time, you know, when I got hurt, that's probably when, you know, I started thinking a little bit about myself and, you know, how it had affected me.
And how did it affect you? How are you now? I guess that's really the question everyone has. We've seen the doctors have all said it is, in this day and age with medicine, it could be even stronger than it was beforehand. How is the shoulder?
Yeah, it feels great. You know, I think it is stronger than ever. You know, my pro day a couple weeks ago, you know, people got to see me throw since the first time I got injured, and I think a lot of people walked away from that, you know, seeing that my arm is stronger than it was before the injury.
And before you even threw, I think people were impressed. How much weight did you gain from the end of the season to your pro day?
Yeah, I put on about 12 to 13
yeah.
pounds.
Yeah, I mean, you looked different from your film of playing today, and I think people were naturally impressed with that even before you started at throwing. And did you had to make sure you made all the throws in that pro day, did you not, just to show you could do everything?
Exactly. You know, I knew there were a lot of questions, obviously, about my shoulder, about my health, and I wanted to come out there and, you know, show that I was, you know, the complete package as a quarterback. I wanted to make throws down the field. I wanted to make intermediate throws, short throws, throws that involved touch. I felt like I did that, and I felt like everyone saw all the throws they needed to see.
Sam Bradford's in our studio, like Ndamukong was. He's here with the folks from Sprint, letting you know about the new Sprint Football Live app. For information, you go to sprint.com/football. Among the things you'll find there are blogs from Sam Bradford and Ndamukong Suh. And speaking of that, it seems to be a foregone conclusion in most circles that you're going to be the number one pick. I guess there's some question who's going to make it. Have you been hearing anything about that? We saw a story that you won't have a deal with St. Louis before the draft. What are you hearing about what's going to happen Thursday night?
You know, I probably hear everything, you know, that everyone else hears. You know, I try to stay away from it as much as possible. And I realize that it's not in my hands anymore. It's in the team's hands. So, you know, I've done everything I can to show everyone the type of player, you know, that I am now after the injury. I felt like I've done everything I needed to do, and, you know, now it's up to the teams and, you know, the good Lord to figure out where I'm going to be.
Are teams still talking to you now? I've never been a high draft pick as a 10th rounder, so teams barely talk to me. So as it gets closer to draft, are they still in contact with you?
A little. I think they're probably more in contact with my agent than with me, and he kind of relays the messages to me as far
so
as
so nobody wants to here. Talk to you anymore, per
no,
se.
No,
you
no,
know
no,
what I mean?
No, yeah. No. I'm not talking to anyone anymore.
What were those like? Like, what kinds of questions? Because I would think of particularly at the quarterback position where people want to see how you think on your feet and they want to get a sense of how your mind works. What kinds of questions, aside from throwing passes, what kinds of questions do people ask you?
They're really probably not as crazy as some people think. I mean, the psychological tests that you take there, they ask the questions that are kind of out in left field. But, you know, they just want to know really about your personality. You know, obviously being a quarterback, they want to know about, you know, your leadership skills and how you would take control of a team or a huddle, different things like that. I mean, most of the questions I saw were all football related.
How intimidating was John Gruden? It was a great show. He had you and Clawson and Colt McCoy and Tebow. He had you individually, and then there was an hour show about all you guys together. But he sat with you guys, worked with you guys for a while. How was
that? I'm really glad we got to go to dinner the night before, and I'm really glad that I got to meet him and spend some time with him before we did the show, because I think if I would have just walked in there, I would have been, you know, completely intimidated, not knowing what to do. But since I got to spend some time with him, I was a little more comfortable. But, you know, that was a great experience. You know, obviously he knows a lot about the game. And just to get there, you know, sit with him and watch film and get to listen about how he thinks about offense and how he thinks about football is pretty cool.
Scary, though, isn't he?
A little bit,
Sam Bradford, again, you'll be able to read his blog, the Sprint Live Football app. You can go to sprint.com/football for information. So Thursday night comes. We expect yours to be the first name that we hear. What do you think the first thought, who are the people that you'll be thinking of in that moment when they say with the first pick in the draft, someone takes Sam Bradford? Who will you be thinking about?
You know, I'll probably just be thinking about, you know, my parents. You know, they've done so much, you know, to get me here. I'm so thankful for everything they've done. They've supported me, you know, in all the sports that I've played growing up, you know, especially football. You know, my coaches back home, my teammates back home, you know, pretty much everyone who had a part in getting me to where I am today.
And the one fun one we always ask, you're going to get a ton of money, obviously, as well. And I'm sure you're going to do some great things with the money as well. But how about what toy are you going to get? Is there something, and when I mean toy, I mean expensive toy. Is there something out there you're just like, yo, when I get that, I'm going to be able to buy me this toy?
I don't know. Really? No. I mean, you know, I thought, you know, I probably would. I thought I've already, you know, bought something cool by now, but I haven't. So, you know, I don't know. It's probably something, you know, that I have no idea, but I might see something one day and buy it, but we'll see.
If you'd like, you can buy something
for us.
You can buy
green or something.
Yeah, we'll be happy.
We have a list of things.
You guys want some more bobbleheads?
No. We got enough bobbleheads.
We're good on that. It's enough with the bobbleheads.
Yeah, we're fine there.
Something that we could drive around in is something I'm thinking. Between you and Ndamukong, we might be able to figure something out. Sam, congratulations. It's been a pleasure to watch you play on the college level. Good luck on Thursday night and wherever it is you wind up at.
Enjoy it.
Thank you.
Sam Bradford with us here again. Expect to hear his name right after 7:30 Thursday night, the NFL Draft on ESPN and ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the best of Mike and Mike in the Morning on ESPN Radio Pod Center.
And not only did Howie break down football for us, well, he also gave us a plug.
Quarterback, as you guys have just talked about, is probably it's the most inexact science there is. And I know you'll have Todd McShay on a little bit later on, the pride of Swampscott, Massachusetts.
And he is here right now. Todd McShay, the pride of Squamscott, Massachusetts. Is that accurate? Is that where you're from?
Greeny, say it right, man.
What is it?
Swampscott.
Did you hear? What the heck did you just say?
I couldn't have butchered that anymore.
I tried to repeat what he said.
He's like Jan Brady and the Brady Bunch, Swampscott.
Yeah. You know what? He gave him a nice plug because back in 81, McShay wasn't doing this, and, you know, Howie would have been mad at him then, too.
That's exactly right. Everyone is mad at McShay.
Kuiper had him in the fifth round.
But we were talking about quarterbacks, right. And so let's do it again here because Sam Bradford, number one pick. There were stories last week that Cleveland was talking to the Rams about possibly going up there to take Sam Bradford. Do you think there is legitimately going to be action for this number one overall pick?
I really don't. And it has nothing to do with Bradford. I think that the Cleveland Browns, if they could get a deal done without giving away the farm, would entertain it. But you have to, I mean, even if you look at the trade value chart, which is dated and teams don't necessarily use specifically, you know, exactly to the numbers, but you're talking about this year's first, obviously. You give them the seventh round, the seventh overall pick. Then a second round pick this year is right around 500 points. So that gives you 2,000 points compared to the first pick overall is worth 3,000. So you still owe another 1,000 points, which is probably a first or a second rounder next year. It's a lot to give away in order to move up to get a player. You stay home at seven. Eric Berry, the safety from Tennessee, is ideal if he falls to you there. If not, it's Earl Thomas, the safety from Texas, or possibly even Derek Morgan, get a pass rusher there. And then you have, at 38, Colt McCoy may not fall to you, the Texas quarterback, but you have five picks in the top, in the first three rounds, 10 picks overall. Maneuver there. Give away one of your three third round picks, move up a little bit, secure him in the late first, and get your quarterback. I'd much rather see them with Earl Thomas and Colt McCoy than moving up and giving away everything to go get Sam Bradford.
Quantity here, you know, a position where you need some.
Yeah. Right. It's a deep draft, and you're a team that's still in the rebuild mode.
Right. Is anything changing in the first half of the first round? Any news coming out or anything going on that people are starting to think different ways?
Well, things? The tricky spot, I really think the pressure point is at number five with Kansas City. And, you know, people are saying, well, they'd love to move back. Everyone wants to move back. But no one wants to move up.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see if that happens. I know this. It should come down to Berry at safety and Brian Bulaga at offensive tackle. And how that goes really affects the next several picks. Jimmy Clausen, there's talk about Buffalo. I'm hearing they're not going to take him at number nine. And then it gets interesting because 13 and 17 for San Francisco, Seattle at 14. One of those teams possibly could take him, but certainly don't have a dire need to take him at that spot. So maybe there's a team that's going to move back into the first round and get him. And then the Oakland Raiders, where do they go? I mean, those are really the three. What do they do? Because they could go offensive tackle. They could go running back C.J. Spiller. They could go in a bunch of different directions, and it could throw off the top 10.
Mike and Mike McShay in studio breaking it down again. Thursday night primetime is the draft. You'll see it on ESPN. We had the story today that Jimmy Clausen's not going to go to the draft. And when I first saw that headline, I thought to myself, he must be getting a sense that he could be about to plummet. Now, then you read the story further, and his grandmother recently passed away. He's very close to his grandfather who can't travel. He wants to be with him. All that's fine. But how much of a sense do these guys have of where they're going to go? Do you know what I mean? It didn't look to me like Brady Quinn expected himself to fall the way he did.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers didn't expect that. Do these guys have a sense going into Thursday night that they might be about to fall?
A lot of times it comes down to the agent and how, A, honest with himself the agent is, and B, honest with his client that he is. You know, you get a lot of different information, but to be honest, a lot of times the player is the last person to really know. I mean, to really know, because sometimes you hear all these stories about, you know, I worked out for 12 different teams. The team that drafted me
didn't work out.
10th or 10th overall, I never talked to. I had no communication. So there's so many different ways to handle it. My guess is they're getting a little bit of a sense that there's a chance. And I'm not saying that's playing into it. Obviously, he has family to take care of, and that, you know, it's great of him to go be with his grandfather in a tough time. But you have to. You have to be honest and realistic about it. There's a chance he does fall, and maybe that plays a little bit of a part into it. A
couple of guys at the combine got tested positive. Jonathan Dwyer, the running back for Georgia Tech, considered a late first, early second guy for amphetamines. Now a source is saying his positive test was triggered by a prescription medication. And then there's Anthony McCoy, the tight end for SC, projected second day pick, who got nailed for marijuana. Any of these guys get affected by this?
Dwyer, I don't think so. From what I understand, it's more the NFL's almost given him an exemption.
And right.
Everyone in the league was alerted to the fact that this could happen. He's taking it for medical purposes, and so it's basically a wash. Outside of why is he taking it is whatever the medical reason, is that something we're okay with? He's falling for other reasons. He's not as talented. I think the more tape you watch, he doesn't have the tools to be a great NFL back, I don't think, maybe a situational player.
So the drug thing isn't something that's
I would be surprised. Okay. I don't think it will. Anthony McCoy is a different deal. And I know people say, well, there's a lot of guys that smoke pot in the NFL.
It's a dumb decision. You're going there and you're getting tested. Are you kidding me?
It has nothing to do with the drug. It's one of two things.
Right.
Teams will say it all the time. Either it's habitual or it's stupidity.
That's exactly right.
And so if you can't cut it out for the 3 weeks leading up and make sure you're absolutely clean, then either you have a real problem with it, and so it does affect your stock, or this guy's just dumb. And I hate to say, I mean, it sounds harsh, but that's how the NFL teams think, and it is affecting McCoy.
We're going to try and have McShay on every day this week leading up to the draft. He is one of the busiest people in the building. He and Mel will obviously be everywhere. And don't forget, it all begins Thursday night, primetime. You'll see it on ESPN. You'll hear it live, of course, right here on ESPN Radio as well. McShay will check in with you tomorrow.
All right, look forward to it.
And Liam, I know, is working with Times. We'll have McShay every day this week leading up to the NFL draft.